This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, good afternoon, Automotive Aftermarket. It's Carm Capriotto, Town Hall Academy from the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. It's week 327. I think it was Dan Taylor saying, when the hell did you start and how many shows did you have? Well, it was one in March of 2015. 1,200 plus shows later, Dan, we're still rocking it. We're talking about retention, everyone, keeping top employees. I got a great panel. In fact, this is my second show ever of having someone outdoors in California. How cool is that, Dan? Glad to have you here. Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers Institute. Hey, Dan.
Good morning, Carm.
Wait till you hear this episode that Dan and I did. It's not released yet. Where we about protecting your gross profit. And it's a completely different angle than you may think of. David Ask with us, Managing Director, AutoStream Car Care Baltimore. You must be busy with 9 locations.
Yep. Stay busy, Carm.
Unbelievable. What a great company down there. Great group of owners. And Brian Kaufeld is here. Brian, did I say that right?
Yes, you did, Carm.
Brian Kaufeld, Ulmer's Auto Care, Cincinnati, 5 shops, plus an ADAS calibration center. Business legacy there, 86 years. Wow.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Are those your core values behind you?
No, one of them is. That's just some, you know, words that we try to live by around here. And hustle, though, is certainly one of our core values.
Excellent. So glad you're here. We've got a lot going on here in today's show. I can't tell you how excited I am. Thank you, Dan Taylor, for bringing me these episodes. We want to just take a quick time out for our great sponsors. You know, it amazes me how much 5-star reviews make or break a shop. Get more customers falling in love with you when you offer them complete convenience and transparency with the industry's leading shop management system. On the web, getshopware.com. And are you up to date on your training? Well, Delphi Technologies is so proud to offer over 30 courses run by ASE certified technicians for professionals. Turn to the OE, aftermarket supplier with over 100 years of experience. The parts your cars are born with. Inquire today at DelphiAftermarket.com. Retention, keeping employees. You don't necessarily want to keep all of the employees because some of them might not all make a fit, but sure, the best ones in the world, you got to make sure they're there. Dan, we were chatting about this offline about a week ago, fell in love with the fact that we need to talk about this. So I want to let you set this up.
Yeah, I think you and I talked for probably an hour or more regarding some of the things I look at from really an outsider. You know, I do own a shop with some guys, but that's almost by accident. We do some endurance racing all over the country, and the only way we could afford to do that was to have our own shop. But as I've had the opportunity the last 5, 6, 7 years to really, really intimately get to know organizations, and I've been both at Brian and David's, all their locations, and can test what a phenomenal culture they have. And one of the principles, you know, foundational things that allow organizations to prosper and be great is employee retention. Teammates staying on your team for long periods of time. And I know David, at one period of time, a couple of years ago, had some crazy number, like 90%+ retention over a 3 or 4 year period with 75, 80 employees. And I know Brian has the same kind of statistics. So when you look at having to firefight and everything else we have to do in our industry and our businesses day to day, if you can have consistency with teammates that do their job, I don't want to leave that out, do their job, meet their expectations, meet the standards, it really sets you up for some great trajectory of success. And it's not just big organizations. That's one of the things I thought about this morning before our show. It's not just you have to have 5, 6, 9 shops. This works with one shop, right? If you get one shop and you get good teammates on your team and you can keep them for long periods of time, and I'll let these guys elaborate on how they've done that over really decades, that makes all the difference in the world for setting yourself up for long-term success.
Brian, does it start with the hiring process?
I think it does, Carb. And as we've grown, we've really had to hone in on that hiring process, hiring high-quality people. Over the last several years, we've certainly hired to our core values, pretty strong interview process. I start with the interview process, have the manager also follow up with an interview. A lot of times we'll take potential candidate out to dinner, out to lunch, meet with them that way. But I think that it's really does. You got to make sure through that process that they do align with the core values because, you know, one bad apple can really, really just do severe damage to a really good team. Recently, just speaking to that, a quick story at our ADOS center, we had a position available. We're adding a fourth mobile unit on the road and had a pretty good pool of candidates. Went through the interview process and it was really difficult. It was down to two guys and we really couldn't choose between the two. So we actually said, you know what? It's hard to find good people. We hired them both. And I think as we continue to grow that business, 6 months from now, we won't be looking to hire somebody else. We'll have them there. We'll have them trained and ready to go and be able to ramp that business up that much more, that much quickly. So when you find a good person and somebody you think is going to be a good fit in your organization, you know, don't let them get away.
How many people are envious of that? I don't know which one to hire.
It was a good problem to have, Carl, let me tell you.
David, you get a lot of referrals because you have such a great organization. It's kind of, if you will, the love from the inside goes out and then people want to come in.
Absolutely, Carm. For us, what we now have is a referral rate of over 74%. So it became a lot easier to hire as people were doing business with people that they like. And so when we get that candidate coming through, they already have a leg up. And not saying that we don't run ads, because we do depending on the need, but most of the time it's awesome to have a pipeline of people. And even today we have multiple people that we know that want to be part of the organization. It's just about finding the right spot for them and the right timing. But without our referral, that changed everything for us on the retention side, because people are enjoying who they're working with. They're helping vet. And you also have people out there making sure that they're bringing the right people to the organization. They don't want to refer somebody who's just going to be a flash in the pan. So we end up getting top quality people. I just want to echo what Brian said. When you have an opportunity to bring on an A player, you got to do it, even if there's not a spot necessarily available, because there's not a lot of A players out there. So I couldn't agree with him more on that, Carm.
So even a small shop, I don't know, five bay, maybe four technicians, you find a superstar, you almost as an owner have to figure out how I can bring in the work, have the right equipment, improve my layout, do whatever I have to do to fit this individual in. Would that be the right move?
For me, it's easier said than done. Having nine locations, we can typically find a spot. For that individual owner, they would really have to evaluate. I'm not sure how Brian and Dan would feel about it, but I would have to look very hard about bringing that person on, even in that scenario that you outlined.
If you find somebody that you believe is a superstar with the talent pool, especially in our industry today, you have to find a place for them. You never know what can happen within the business, and you'd hate to lose that individual 3 or 4 weeks down the road to have a real need, and then you're, you know, that far behind. So I think that if you have the opportunity to hire a superstar today and you can make that happen, go for it.
So if you're thinking about your business and you're leaning over your skis and you're proactive and you have a budget and you know where you're going to be in 5 years, you think, it's probably easier to bring that person in, because if you didn't have all of that in your pocket, Dan, you'd be reluctant.
Right. Yeah, it's about planning. And I think from a budgetary standpoint, or P&L profitability, and again, this is one shop versus maybe 3 to 5 to 8 shops like we're talking about, I would take the hit personally on the P&L. It's like free agency in any sports. If you get a chance to land a really, really talented individual that can help you, find a place. It might require some realignment or changes in your current team, if that's so predicated. But I would agree with these guys. Talent, talent, talent. You look at any sports team, you look at any corporation, any organization, even families. I mean, talent speaks probably above most anything else. Obviously, we want great attitude. We want cultural alignment. I do want to swing around real quick and point out David's comment. You know, there's been studies on, you have a solid culture if you have at least 1 out of 4 people referred to you that are on your team. And for to hit the number of 74% is just crazy. But that means that people want to join your team. And then that allows you to have a list, backup players in the drawer, all those things. But it's a great indication of whether your culture's attractive to the market when you have a lot of referrals. So I wanted to make sure I put some whipping cream on top of that comment that he made earlier.
We know that retaining the right people saves money in the long haul. And no matter what it is that you need to invest in them, I think it comes back to you in spades. In fact, the most successful guys that I know of say, it's just a no-brainer. So I would love to talk about training, communications, accountability, surveys, referrals, career pathing, because I think all of this is in the big bucket of retention. So why don't we start something out, David?
I agree with you. And one thing I learned early on was to start with why. And there's some people out there that believe in keeping it close to the vest. And with your people, I believe in over communication. And that starts with the biweekly meetings with your leaders, and whether the leads of the locations or on your leadership team, making sure that you're meeting with them. And I spent a half hour, and actually I got that from Dan and the EQ side of the business, because the emotional intelligence side is equally as important as the numbers. So knowing where their head is at, communicating with them. And then we also conduct quarterly meetings with our technicians where we're talking about any pay issues or where the production side is. And we have the leadership team in that meeting and we're just having that discussion. And so every tech in the system, and we have 36 now, gets a quarterly meeting, and dedicating the time to make sure that we're spending that with the individual. We used to try to fit 9 into 2 days. And the reality is we had to spread that out over several days so that we could actually give people the time that they deserve. And then catalytic coaching, we're huge believers in that. We've been doing that for several years. That also came from Dan and Transformers on the EQ side. And that's getting them talking about things that they were excited about, things that they want to improve on. It's not us leading that discussion. That's really the individual. And then we're kind of addressing their needs as they come. And you find out some very interesting things in those meetings once a year on, hey, what are their 5-year goals? You know, what's their long-term goals? And knowing that really helps us navigate the employee side of the business.
You know, nothing tells a customer they need a new part faster than when they see a worn or broken one in their hands. Now, how do you do that in the digital age? Well, it's actually very easy. Thanks to DVX, you can send photos and videos within its messenger platform. It's like nothing else you've ever seen in an auto repair SMS before. Take the best of an Amazon-like experience and use it in your shop to show customers how great you are. DVX also makes it easy for customers to drop you a quick text or answer in the messenger bubble that arises from the repair order. It's like magic. Customers love seeing what they need to do and giving you a quick answer. You'll see your business's potential right in front of you. Your customers get on with their day, and you get back to the repair. Everybody wins. It's time. Take it from me. GetShopware.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. Here I am, a very successful technician, and I'm involved in setting a plan for my world and my life. Really? Whoa, what a place to work for. I can't believe how much they care about me. They've really even made me think more about home and family and self-worth. The reason for this episode is to move so many people. Retention's one thing, but developing the right culture, I believe the glue.
We do survey after every event, and we do employee satisfaction surveys, and we use SurveyMonkey, and it's very simple to use, and we want to know. And this last kickoff meeting where we have annually, we're asking very specific questions, and then we're addressing their questions as they come up. And so getting people engaged is also a big part of the, not only the accountability part of the discussion, but the retention side and the employee satisfaction side.
Typically, when you have a fire at the shop at one of the locations, you have an issue with an employee, whatever that may be, it goes back to communication. And we implemented the process EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, about a year and a half ago. And just like David mentioned, weekly leadership meetings, bi-weekly meetings with the managers. We have one-on-one meetings with individuals, employee evaluations. The more communication that you can have within the organization, the better off everybody is. You have a lot less fires, and your employee engagement leads to happier employees. And it really has been a huge transformation for our organization.
David, I love the survey idea. If you sent someone, a couple of technicians to Vision or to, you know, just some local, maybe day-long training, even nighttime training, would you survey them to show that you're paying attention, that you care, that the training was right? Should we do it again? Are you even doing it at that level?
It's a great suggestion, Carm. We got to take it to that next level. We're not doing that as we speak.
Oh my God, I gave you guys, these superstar guys, an idea.
Nuggets.
Well, there's a drop to the bottom line. I love that. By the way, thanks for bringing up EOS, Brian. We have done a ton of podcasts on EOS. And if you go to the collections page under resources on my website, you'll find an entire collection of maybe 7 or 8 podcasts on EOS. And in fact, we're getting ready to do some more follow-up after the yearly meetings and to see how many of the shops are doing with that. Guys, accountability. If you're a valued member of a team, want a little bit of that?
Absolutely. The best teams are the ones that are accountable. And Dan and I, we have a great relationship. We talk all the time, and uses the analogy of Nick Saban of Alabama and Dabo Sweeney.
Wait a minute. Stop. I have to tell you the story. Dan told me the story, David. Correct. And so I know that you like to carry a big stick, but it's getting shorter.
That's true.
He makes the players run longer, though. He makes them run longer now. There's no stick, but they get more laps.
And it's interesting because, Carm, that did come up in our COO group here recently, the carrot and the stick. And everyone wants to give the carrot. Everyone wants to be the nice person and go out there and reward people for effort. But where's the consequence if and when that doesn't work? And it is that balancing act that we constantly try to hone in on.
Yeah. And I think with accountability, certainly superstars want to be held accountable, but we also have to, you know, keep in mind and is to put the goals and to put the KPIs in front of our team members to make sure they know exactly where we want them to go. I think that's important. I mean, to be able to hold them accountable, we have to put those goals in place and give them the tools and the training and everything to get there.
How you pay your people. That helps in the accountability discussion. We've made a decision years ago to pay the best in the industry. And at the end of the day, that gives them zero reason to go out there and looking for anywhere else. It helps with the loyalty discussion, but it also helps with that accountable discussion because to whom much is given, much is expected. And so when you're paying your people at the top of the industry, you can ask for more. And we couldn't be bigger believers in that.
There are few organizations that hold their team to the accountability level that Brian and David do, but they also do that. And I want to blend this in because it is the EQ part of things. It's the soft skills. These guys invest in these guys from a relational standpoint, and their guys know that they care about them as people. They care about them as human beings. They care about their families. They care about their careers. They care about their well-being. And when you have that, right, it goes back to this coaching approach versus I'm managing people, I'm coaching them. Coaches have the right, the ability, and the player, or in this case, the teammate, has allowed that relationship to evolve to when I need to kick you in the pants because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and what you agreed to and what you're capable of doing, that you can pull out the stick and go, hey, do you really want this or not? And people respond very positively, but you have to have both, right? You can't just run around with a stick and you can't run around with the carrots. And it's not a science. It's an art going back and forth. It's situational. It's personality driven. There's a lot of things that go into that. It's very dynamic movement. And I don't have the answers. All I know is that it takes decades and decades to refine it. And even at that, you're still learning every single event or different personality. It's always on the move. And I'd like those guys to elaborate on that because that's huge. You can absolutely hold people to incredible standards of accomplishment and doing their jobs correctly. At the same time, the employee knows that you care about them as a human being, as a person, and have their best interest in mind.
Dan was in town a couple months ago doing an EQ workshop for our organization. And, you know, something that we learned and goes with that is positive affirmations. And it's something that we've really, really focused on, you know, within all the shops recently, especially over the last couple months is, you know, when somebody does a good job, when somebody lends a helping hand, when somebody is an excellent team member at the time, those positive affirmations, they do an amazing job of turning that single behavior into habit. That was a really big takeaway and something, you know, Dan really helped us with.
One of the mantras that we've picked up is we either make change or we make change. And when we're asking these people to change or adapt, or in our organization, we call it the 10 pillars. And there's no secret to the pillars. And it's a level playing field. And we're a competitive organization. And when you're scoring a 2.5 on out of 10, then you're not running a very good business. And so what are we going to do to make that change? And one of the things that came up last year, we were really pushing effective labor rate and we tried the carrot. We tried the bonus side, like, hey, if you hit our metric, then get an extra bonus. And we had 1 out of 9 locations actually hit that on a consistent basis. So then all of a sudden in January, we're not moving it forward. And then we had to go to the stick, which was, if you don't hit this number, here's the consequence. And then every location hit the number moving forward. And in our organization, that's a 7-figure change. And so we tried it the nice way. And what's funny with my Marine Corps background, when I first started with in my organization, I gave my boss a shirt that said, hey, the beatings will continue till the morale improves, right? And the reality is, as Dan was alluding to and Brian is, it is the positive affirmations. They have to know that they love you. But just like with any children that you would be raising or any accountability on the organization, there has to be consequences for actions that aren't in line with your goals and vision.
This is great, by the way. I'm inspired by all the great discussions and all the great, if you will, gems that you have dropped on us. Let's talk about something that I hear a lot that has everything to do with retention and training, great employees. The owner says, so what training have you provided for your people of recent? Send them to Vision, some of the local schools, classes, online. My people won't go to training. Help me finish that discussion. If you were sitting across from an owner, what would you tell that owner?
One, you know, training is a policy of ours that everybody receives a specific amount of training, hours worth of training per year. And what we did, because I do understand some of the technician side of things, some of the training, you know, locally that's in the evenings after they work long hours, that can certainly be difficult. What we did several years ago when we opened our ADOS center is we had a separate area within that building and we built a training center. So it's the Almers Auto Care Training Center. There's space for comfortably 25. When Dan was in town, I think we uncomfortably squeezed about 45 in there, but it's a nice room and it's a training facility. We have a lot of top-notch trainers come in from all over the country, usually 8 to 10 training sessions, full day training sessions per year. And the nice part about having that connected with our ADOS center is we can do the classroom style and then the trainer can take them into the shop and do the hands-on as well. So our technicians, administrative staff, everybody really enjoys that setup. It's been very successful. We've invited other shops in to the training as well. We've made training convenient for ourselves and our employees, which I think they're a lot more apt to take you up on the training and be excited about the training when you can make it comfortable.
Yeah. And chime in real quick. The other thing about Brian's location is he collaborates with 6, 8, 10 different peers around his market in Cincinnati. They all work together. I mean, when I came out there, I think there was 6 or 7 shops that were actually represented in the workshop that I did, was honored to do for him. In the meantime, they had a training going on out in the garage. So he's worked very collaboratively with his peers. And that's one way that you might get folks to participate a little bit more is to join together in a co-op type learning environment. That might make them feel comfortable as well. I know it was very, very easy. These guys all kind of sort of knew each other. They respected each other. It made it super easy.
David, I'm sitting at a networking event and you says, well, how much training do you send your people to? Well, my people won't go to training. If we're talking retention right now, we're talking some loyalty, we're talking career pathing, what do we need to do to convince a shop owner who doesn't believe his people? I mean, again, let's go back to this great quote, make change or make change. That kind of inspired me to tell this part of the story and get you to tell an owner who doesn't want to make a commitment to training as a pillar of their company.
We've evolved, and we do have a production and training manager. So when you're alluding to vision, we send him over there. And he was in the all-day Tesla training course. And we all know that HEVs are coming, and they're over 5% now. And Mercedes is talking about getting out of the ICE engines by 2030. And so we have an amazing tech. He's an A guy. Anyone that's listening to this would love to have that. And yet he's pushing back on electric vehicle training. And so our train the trainer portion, we're going to take all of our A techs and we're going to go into our lab and we're going to reverse engineer electric vehicles. But getting that person on board to understand, why are we doing that? Because shame on us if we continue to do what we've just done, because this industry will outrun us. And if we don't continue to train and elaborate, because today Tesla, all we do is take care of tires. And yet when we find out in this Tesla training course, we could take care of 25 items on the maintenance side. It's an education process. And so what I would say to an owner who's having an issue with someone training, whether it's ASCs, why do we do ASCs? We do ASCs for the clients. We do that so that we can hang your certifications on the wall. And then you get people walking in and saying, I want CARM, the ASC Master Tech, working on my vehicle. Why are we doing these other trainings? Where's our electric diagnostic? How are we doing on these type of things? We have what's called a return log. We don't call it a comeback log anymore because comeback has a negative connotation. Every week we look at what's returned. Then we're saying, okay, was this because it was over the technician's head? Do we need to train on that more? And having those candid and honest discussions, my boss, Doug, always talked about techs being like Goldilocks. They want it just right. And at the end of the day, our job is to push them out of their comfort zones and understand that we're a training organization and that we continue to move the needle forward, because if we don't, adapt or die. And we're not in this business to die. We're in this business to thrive.
I understand where this conversation is going, and part of the challenge is we can go 50 different routes in these discussions. It is counterintuitive to what we know from research that employees don't want training. We know almost 90% of them expect training from their employer. That's a problem, that someone's telling you they don't want training when actually statistically they do, unless you have the 1 out of 10 guys that doesn't believe in it. Then it comes back to a leadership issue, or it comes back to a communication issue. David alluded to catalytic coaching. We have to understand what the individual's needs, desires are, where they want to go. So I guess if I had to summarize what I was going to say, leadership has to set the precedence. We're going to do training. And two, you got to figure out from your teammate, what kind of training do they want? Where do they want to go? And how can we help you get there?
I love what you said. It's the excuse that comes to you is that I'm tired. I want to be with my family. We got a soccer practice. Or wait a minute, I don't want to spend that Saturday away from the family. I got lawn work to do. We've got birthdays. And I look at all those as excuses. And when you think about what Dan Taylor just said about leadership, then okay, listen, guys, I get it. Let's sit down. Let's pick a date that works for all of you in the future. Here's a date that's coming up. We need this kind of training. We're finding stuff in the bays that we don't know enough about. We're looking for silver bullets. It's wasting us time. That whole leadership, Dan, you just nailed it. Because what I feel in my gut when an owner says my people won't train, it's that you haven't figured it out.
A lot of owners in our industry think they can't be without that technician for a day, or, oh, I've got to pay them to be in training, but they're not going to be billing hours. And as Dan said, it's a fact that our team members want training, and the cost of one day, just think about when they're not there, when they leave because they find somebody that will further their career, then you're without them, period. So the investment in training and the time it takes is certainly worth it tenfold.
Yeah. There is a direct correlation between this training thing and retention. I guarantee it. All the great organizations around the country, they have prioritized this.
When the person's on vacation, can't wait to get out, go with the family down to the beach, we seem to pull off the week. We seem to do okay. And so when you hear the excuse, you don't understand, I got to make money. I can't send my people away on a day-long training. It's an excuse to a successful business individual who has struggled for years to figure out how sales are grown, how margins are made, how profits are made. And when you got that in your hand, you realize that, oh my God, what's my training budget? I haven't used enough of it. I got to spend more money on training. So it's all part of the comfort zone that I think you get into when you hire a coach, when you as an owner are accountable to a peer, which happens so much of the time in networking groups and stuff. So yeah, great messages throughout this entire episode. Brian, anything in your talking points that we didn't cover that you'd like to make?
Just talking about the career path and when you have those one-on-one conversations, when you have the meetings with the others on the team, talk about a career path, because I think that, you know, a lot of people feel that they may be limited in their position. And as we've grown, and a real goal of ours to grow was to create a lot more opportunities for those within our organization. And that certainly has happened. Everybody on my leadership team actually started with us at an entry-level position in their specific department. And now everybody on the leadership team is a manager at a location or director of operations, that kind of thing. So as we've grown, we've been able to open up greater opportunities. And I think that more time you can spend with those on the team and create a career path and show them that there is a long-term future with your organization and share your vision and your long-term plan with them, retention will certainly increase and go hand in hand with that.
Brian, how often should you be sitting down one-on-one with a teammate that you supervise?
We're currently twice a year, every 6 months, and they'll sit down with their direct report. And then we'll have, on top of that, also have evaluation one time per year as well, where we discuss the training plan for the year going forward, goals for the year going forward. And if we stay on track with those, that's where the career path comes in play. And certainly as we grow, find another position within the organization as they move up.
How often do you set the vision and the number of stores, the volume, the new technology challenges that you guys will all overcome? Do you get in front of your team at least once or twice a year and help them realize that the career path that they want here can be met by your vision?
Absolutely. So that's part of the EOS process for us. After we have our yearly leadership team meeting, then that following month, we sit down with the entire organization and let them know. And as I said, we're only in the second year of this. As we update our 1 year plan, our 3 year plan, and our 10 year plan, as well as our vision, we put that in front of them and let them know where we're going to be in 10 years. And I think that in and of itself shows them that there is a strong future and to stay within our organization.
You're hearing all about the magic of retention. David?
I would say empower your leaders. Make sure that they know that you trust them. Those would be the two words, empower and trust. And part of the trust is having those honest discussions with everyone in your organization. And it's not about pulling punches. Where are we? Where do you see yourself going? Are we on the right path? Are we aligned in how we're going to get there? And just be candid with people. People can respect when you're being honest. And I think a lot of people in any organization sit there and they pull punches and they're not direct. And I would just say, be lovingly direct to your people as you're holding them accountable, and they will respect you for that. Nothing is worse than somebody being caught off guard because they didn't see it coming. So I would just encourage people to lovingly be honest.
I just love that. Lovingly direct. Oh my. I'm telling you, that's just another cherry sitting on the tree right there. Let it absorb. Think about that. Just let it in. Lovingly direct. It's such a powerful two words. Thank you for that, David. Dan, last word.
I would echo the assertive communication. I do modules on communication, and I know both these organizations, it's assertive communication. They got a little bit of nugget from, this might give some people some freedom. I believe wholeheartedly we're responsible to love another person. That doesn't necessarily mean you like them. But as a leader, you are responsible to love them and care about their well-being. It doesn't necessarily mean you connect with them or you're going to hang out with them. And if we can have that as a leadership principle, I'm always going to love you. I'm always going to look out for your best interests. Then the communication comes easier. These conversations come easier. They know where you're going with them. There are people I work on with my own team I don't necessarily like that much, but I do absolutely love them and want the very best for them. So hopefully that's a great ending mantra for people. You got to love them. Doesn't necessarily mean you like them.
Wow. So powerful. I've been known to get up in front of people and saying that an organization has to have love inside of it. And it's like throwing tomatoes at me and saying, get the hell out of here. What are you talking about? I wait for that response, then I would say, in my world, it means that we care for each other. Again, to your point, Dan, you don't have to necessarily like that person, but we care for each other. And that's part of the culture. That's why you're here. That's why you stick around. That's why we invest in you. And on, all of these great, incredible takeaways. What a great episode, everyone. Thank you so much. Tunnel Academy 327 Retention, Keeping Top Employees with Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers, David Asquith, Managing Director, AutoStream Car Care, and Brian Caulfield, Ulmer's Auto Care, Cincinnati, five shops. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you, Carm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.